Happy Easter, friends of Covenant Presbyterian Church. Today we continue our Easter season sermon series on learning and living resurrection. We're looking in particular at the book of Acts, the book of the Bible that tells the story of those first disciples and how they tried to make sense of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus as they tried to figure out what the resurrection of Jesus meant for them in terms of how they lived their lives. 2 weeks ago, you heard about how the book of Acts opens by the proclamation of the kingdom of God, the realm of God, this new reality of God, the basileia of God, and how we're called to live into that new reality. Last week, you heard about how resurrection means change, changing our minds, changing our habits, changing our lives because of this new life that God offers us in Jesus Christ. Well, today you're going to hear about how resurrection means that we are awake, awake in new ways. Now, this is the worship video for Sunday, April 25th, which is Confirmation Sunday at Covenant Presbyterian Church. On that actual morning, right here in the sanctuary, 7 young people will be confirmed and welcomed into membership of the church after a year-long process of learning and growing and praying and discerning God's will. It's an exciting time. You'll see video from that day, the following Sunday on May 2nd in our worship video for that day. Well, in honor of those 7 young people who are being confirmed on that day, and in the spirit of Easter and resurrection, our focus for today is on a rather bizarre incident from the book of Acts in which a preacher speaks for so long, he bores a young man to death. I kid you not. But as we know, death is not the last word, and we see that death is not the last word, even in this bizarre narrative from the book of Acts. Listen now for God's word. On the first day of the week, when we met to break bread, Paul was holding a discussion with them. Since he intended to leave the next day, he continued speaking until midnight. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where we were meeting. A young man named Eutychus, who was sitting in the window, began to sink off into a deep sleep while Paul still talked longer. Overcome by sleep, he fell to the ground 3 floors below and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and, bending over him, took him in his arms and said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." Then Paul went upstairs. And after he had broken bread and eaten, he continued to converse with them until dawn. Then he left. Meanwhile, they had taken the boy away alive and were not a little comforted. Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture. Many years ago, I officiated the baptism of a girl who was part of a very large church family. After the baptism happened, the family gathered for a multi-generational photograph. As they were gathering, a friend was standing with the great-grandfather, who was sort of the patriarch of the family. And the friend looked at the little girl who had been baptized and said, "Well, look at her, look at that cute little baby maintaining that fine family tradition of sleeping in church." I couldn't help but laugh when I heard that, and it makes me laugh to think about it, because I know sleeping in church happens. I'd bet a nickel that at least a few of you who are watching this worship video have nodded off once or twice during a worship service. And believe it or not, I think sometimes there's understandable reasons why people might get a little sleepy in church. I can think of 3 of them that I want to share with you today. Sometimes, quite frankly, church services are boring. Sometimes sermons are boring. Sometimes the preacher goes on and on and on just for too long. I've seen a few dozers in my days looking out over the congregation, and it does make me think maybe I've gone on a little bit too long. The second reason I think sometimes people get sleepy in church is because sometimes the programs of church are boring and not engaging. I know a pastor who was asked to speak at the 40th anniversary of a Presbyterian Women's Association gathering several years ago. And at that gathering, the women had lovingly gathered together all the program books from the 40 years that they had been together. They were excited to celebrate. They were also kind of sad that their group was shrinking and that the remaining members were all in their 80s and 90s. So at this gathering, the program books, every program book for 40 years was laid out on a table from the first year to the current year. And the pastor who was asked to speak at this gathering went and he picked up the one at one end, the current book. He walked to the other end of the table, picked up the first year program book and looked at them. And the programs were essentially identical. And he thought to himself, this group is essentially saying that the world hasn't changed in 40 years, that the lives of women haven't changed in 40 years, and they're wondering why their group is shrinking and not attracting new members. If a church program stays the same for decades, that's a problem. It's going to be boring. The world changes, and the church needs to change with it. So sometimes worship services are boring because the preacher talks too much. Sometimes church is boring because the programs are boring. And sometimes church is boring and unfaithful because it fails to engage with the issues of the day. And it exists in some lofty plane apart from the reality of the world in which it lives. There's a story that circulates among churches, which I don't think is historically true, but it certainly reflects the truth of how churches sometimes miss the boat. The story goes like this. There's a church in Germany during World War II, situated on the railroad tracks. And down the tracks are one of the concentration camps. And everybody in the church knows exactly what happens with the people on the trains as they go by. And they hear these trains go by with people screaming and crying out. Well, the pastor at the church, every time he heard a train going during a worship service, he would signal to the organist who would play the organ very loud, and he would encourage the people to sing very loud so they wouldn't hear those trains going by with people screaming out in agony. Now, like I say, I don't think that story is historically true, but it reflects the reality that sometimes churches fail to engage with the issues around them. Churches become boring, irrelevant, and unfaithful when they do that, when we ignore pain and suffering in the world around us. So if we want to avoid boring people to death, we need to make sure our worship services are lively and engaging and relevant. We need to make sure our programs are contemporary and lively and engaging and relevant. And we need to make sure that we're engaging with the issues of the day, that we're wrestling with issues like we do here at Covenant, with issues like racism and poverty and gun violence and controversial issues like that, where there are no easy answers, but there are things that we need to talk about and wrestle with as followers of Jesus, as people who are looking for resurrection and new life in the world. So I think we're doing a pretty good job here at Covenant in not being too boring. I hope nobody's dozing out there at this point, right? I think we're doing a pretty good job, but I'm always open for suggestions, for constructive criticism, for ideas about how we can be more engaging, more helpful in making the gospel come alive. But the thing is, it's not only the church's responsibility to keep people awake. We all need to take personal responsibility for being awake, alert, and alive in the world that God has given us. Sometimes we sleepwalk through life. Sometimes we miss opportunities to learn and grow because we're dozing or distracted. Sometimes we fall asleep amidst a good sermon or a good lecture, and we miss a golden opportunity to change direction, to learn and grow. Sometimes we just go through the motions, failing to see beauty in the world around us, failing to experience joy, or walking right by a chance to help somebody, to make a difference in the world. Sometimes we ourselves are the ones to blame for sleepwalking through life. Before his death, Jesus gathered with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked them to stay awake and pray. He went aside and prayed, and he came back and he found them sleeping on several occasions. When Jesus needed them most, they dozed off. That seems like a cautionary tale for us, for the life of faith. Now, clearly, sleep is important and necessary. And too many of us don't get enough sleep, and many of us don't sleep well at night. That's important and that's relevant. We need to take care of that. And also, Sabbath is important. It's a commandment that we rest, that we cease from our work and relax. Those are both really important things, getting enough sleep and taking a break from work. But we take those things seriously so that we can be awake and alert and alive as God's people and do the things that God wants us to do and be aware of the resurrection that's happening within us and around us. So how about you right now, right here today? Are you awake? Are you alert? Are you really alive? Have you welcomed the gift of life that God has given you? And are you making the most of this day, this hour, this moment? Are you tuned in to what's going on in your world, in your surroundings, in your heart? Are you awake enough to recognize that God is with you, to speak to you, to comfort you, to challenge you? The Bible is filled with encouragement for us. Just a few verses. In Ephesians 5, we read, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, making the most of the time." In Romans chapter 13, we read, "You know what time it is, how it's the moment for you to wake from sleep. Let us lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." And then one of my favorite verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, "Keep alert, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, be strong, and let everything you do be done in love." That first phrase, "keep alert," is sometimes translated as "wake up." Wake up. So aside from inspiring Bible verses and aside from a good cup of coffee, perhaps, what are you doing to be awake, alert, and alive? How are you preparing yourself for whatever might come your way this day? Have you made an effort to really be focused and attentive to the life that God has given you, to the opportunities that you have this very day to learn and to live and to grow? Some people have morning routines of prayer and meditation to help them. Some people get outside every day and breathe in some fresh air to help them be alert and awake. Some people think about clothing themselves with compassion and kindness and love every time they get dressed in the morning, remembering those words from Colossians chapter 3, and that helps them to be awake and alert and alive. Some people pause before eating to give thanks to God for the simple gift of food. Now, in terms of church, and church services, whether they're here in the sanctuary or wherever you're watching a worship service, some people are really intentional about preparing for worship. Some people go to bed early on Saturday night so they're well rested for worship on Sunday. Some people pray before worship, saying, "God, speak to me today." And some people walk into worship intentionally cultivating a sense of expectation that they will have an encounter with God, that they'll hear something from God, they'll be able to share something with God, they'll be able to experience something of God in that worship service. So they come in with a sense of open ears and open hearts. Friends, we're called to be awake, alert, and alive. I could keep talking about this some more, but I don't want to bore you. So let us pray. Loving God, thank you for the gift of this new day. Thank you for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, for the new life that you have given us. Free us, we pray, from going through the motions and not paying attention to the world around us. Make us awake, alert, and alive to love one another, to appreciate the beauty of the world, to be freed from complacency with injustice, to really live as disciples of Jesus, with thankful hearts for the gift of this new day and the new opportunities before us, we pray. Amen.
It was just about a year ago